It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host, a tall man who entered a nice building to visit a very nice man, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin Jane, some idiot named Mark Greg Sputnik. That's it,
yeah. and with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
You know what don't get no respect? Airplane food. Why don't they just make the plane out of the airline food?
Love it.
My wife don't get no respect. So take her, please, for example. If you don't get no respect, you might be a redneck. Wow. Respect.
No, it's not over, yeah.
What's the deal with grape nuts? Yeah. No grapes, no nuts. I don't get no respect.
I didn't edit a piece of that.
Without the visual, the silences are so perfect that you just think it's
and
over.
By the way, that's only half. That's still only half of that ending.
What?
They give Steve Carell like a full just 90 seconds of prime time just to just kind of sit there. It's great.
One of the all-time great talking heads.
It really is. When we have our talking head draft, I expect that to go pretty high.
And you may ask yourself, how did I get here? Yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
Go ahead, Sean. Sean, we missed you so much.
I'm gonna start the show. I missed you too. Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll cover our main topic, and then we'll go to the conference room where we're gonna make some music recommendations and some. I'm sure we'll talk about TV shows and all kinds of other things.
Podcasts,
like that.
Books, podcasts, movies, TV, just like stuff to get you through this fall and winter season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we'll finish it up with some listener provided trivia. We also want to say sorry we're late this week. It's my fault. But sometimes the schedule doesn't line up so well.
Hey,
but,
man, the only reason you get out of the game is to get reluctantly pulled back in.
Sean's job.
We're happy to have you
Sean's
back.
Sean's job has kind of been like Michael on the fun run. It's just the longer it goes on, the worse, the harder and harder it's getting. And we're going to carry you across the finish line, bud.
I don't know
shout
if you've
out
ever.
To,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, shout out to my fellow Yahtzee members. If any of you are listening, it's tough out there.
I don't know if you've ever eaten more fettuccine Alfredo and drank less water, but I know it's been a tough time. So,
well, thanks, guys. But I am excited to get into today's main topic, which is, of course, did I stutter? Season 4, episode 16.
I thought you were pausing to tee me up, and I was like scrambling to get there. And we should have coordinated that. Here, let's try it again. Let's try that again. Go ahead.
This week's episode is...
Did I stutter?
Season 4, episode 16. Written...
Congratulations on your epic fail!
Written by Brent Forrester and Justin Spitzer, directed by Randall Einhorn. It aired on May 1st, 2008.
Mayday.
This is a great episode, a great Stanley episode.
Yeah,
and I think that's why we gravitated towards this one.
We haven't really sniffed around season four in a while. It felt like, and sort of realized, boy, the Stanley talk has been low lately. not a lot of Stanley. And we're here to fix that, you know? Here to fix that with that beautiful man.
I was surprised.
Boy, I will hammer spank your rear.
That's a great drop.
Now that we have these pauses, I'm afraid to start talking again because I know we're going to get hit with a drop.
I got itchy fingers tonight. I don't know.
That's good. No, you got to give the people what they want.
Texas justice.
For an episode that does center around this interaction between Stanley and Michael, I found that there is so much packed into a 22-minute episode in season 4. A lot of times when we do these single episodes, I end up saying something to the effect of, this really exemplifies season 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And this one, I think, to me, felt less like a typical season 4 episode and more just impressed at how much they were able to balance between all the different character storylines. We talk about how that maybe is a little less effective in some of the later seasons, but I thought they nailed it in this episode. It's just it's so, so tight, and all the characters get a little bit of time.
Yeah, there's a lot of double episodes in season 4, too. There's several 45-minute episodes, and this one comes, you know, a little later in season 4. There's only 2 episodes, Job Fair, Goodbye Toby, after this one. Before this is Night Out and Chair Model. And before that, I mean, the run from like Fun Run through Dinner Party feels like a whole, like that is sort of all of the real story of Michael and Jan's relationship is that whole arc. And then afterwards we get these kind of semblance of these other episodes before getting into the end of getting Toby and bringing Holly in. So this exists in that kind of weird space between those two arcs of Jan and Holly.
This is, of course, the writer's strike season.
Of course.
So a lot going on with the overall way this season kind of flows. But it makes me think that if the writer's strike hadn't happened in 2008, that this season might have been totally not. It wouldn't have been totally different in terms of storylines, but it might have felt different in the way that the episodes are mapped out and the way that they aired. But overall, I think a really, really strong episode and one that features a bit of growth by Stanley, if we can call it that. You know, this definitely is a different side to his character. He kind of emerges from being the quiet person with the crossword puzzle and just kind of reacting to Michael. We see his temper at other times, but this feels like a turning point for Stanley. It feels like the way that Stanley is after this is mm-hmm. very, very different.
It feels like Stanley has never really even cared enough to have this kind of outburst. Like he's so checked out or he's so just right. like doing his mm-hmm. thing that he's actually, Michael pushes him to a point where he actually has a real cathartic, like, no, I need to tell you exactly how I think about you. And you said this big lot of growth for Stanley, and I would say this is a ton of growth for Michael. I we'll get to it later, but I have a hot take about this episode and about Stanley, but we'll get there.
It's not necessarily growth, but it's a side of Stanley that we start to see more of, and then it becomes a bigger part of his character.
Okay, I see, yes.
Moving forward.
A new dimension of his character kind
of
emerges.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I would agree with you on the growth for Michael, but
yeah,
we can keep going.
We got time. There's lots happens before the showdown between the two of them.
Well, there is one thing that happens before anything else in this episode, and that is the cold open, which is a fabulous Michael Scott cold open.
Hot start to a cold open. Coming in.
We got wet cement.
I need your ideas.
Phyllis.
Go, right now. Come on.
A perfect example of when no one is on the same page as him, and he's expecting everyone to come along on the journey.
He's so frustrated that people aren't.
So impatient. Yeah.
This is one of the best, like, examples of Michael Scott delegating, too. I just love Ryan, translate, or Pam, translate.
Wet cement, outside, it's drying. Lifelong dream.
The initials, the handprints, some idiot named Mark, Greg, Sputnik.
Yeah, that's true.
You could draw a picture because a picture is worth 1,000 words. You know,
big shout out to Phyllis. I was little. Okay, let's hear it. Let's go.
And then you get I always love the dynamic where Dwight is rushing out and Kevin is rushing out right behind him, where the two of them are, involved in some kind of fun. When they go light off the fireworks and what is it, season 2, I believe?
Oh, yes.
So they, and then they all gather for Michael to, and Jim is giving a speech.
Yes.
Perfectly setting it up for Michael to dip his head in the cement.
And as rushed as Michael is, they take the time to wrap him in plastic, like Vaseline up his entire face. They rubber band a breathing straw for him. Mm-hmm. It takes a little time to get there. And the cement is still just like oatmeal. Yeah. Has not dried
at
all.
One of the best, that's what she says in the entire show.
Yeah. Like in cement.
In the cement.
Through the straw. It's incredible. Amazing stuff. And then another great talking head from Mike. A lot of good ones in this one, but Michael then gives the, you know, that's me. Look, kids, your daddy left that face hole. I don't know. It's a good feeling. I've said this before on the show, but I just always wish, like, two seasons later, someone just tripped a little bit on the way into the office. And they didn't even, like, show it. You just had to remember, oh, right, oh, there's a giant hole in front of the door that would probably be spraining ankles.
Or just for the rest of the show, every new character trips on their way in.
It would have been really good in season 9 to have, like, Clark trip on it. And say,
oh, yeah.
Like, who is this guy? Why did he do this? And Pete just says, I don't know, man. Let's just go upstairs.
Hey, who knows? Yeah. They put him in, and a lot of cement comes back on his face when they pull him out. And then it's just a giant hole. It's just nothing.
It's just a hazard.
I like this. I always pair this moment in my head with collecting the gravel from the Scranton Strangler chase. It's like,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. These things that he thinks in 20 years are going to be huge deals to everyone that he, you know, he does right in front of the building.
His train of thought is so far down the road that he's thinking to his children's children.
His grandkids, yeah.
Embracing the legacy of him as the manager of Dunder Mifflin Scranton.
He's got a shot at grandkids. He might be actually be able to do this by the end of the show. Who knows? But anyway, it's a great cold open. It's frantic. It's a very, it's a long cold open, but great payoff. Good stuff. And it gets us right into the episode, which starts, of course, with Andy and Angela doing the Mad Lib with Dwight not wanting anything horrible to happen to them.
This is an example of where the storylines are really well. Yeah. The storylines are very balanced. The Dwight and Angela and Andy dynamic. Dwight says Angela and Andy seem very happy together. It would be a shame if I hope nothing horrible ever happens to them, which kind of plants the seed for what's going to happen later. And then that immediately, I mean, we're kind of, I guess we could stay on this storyline. The way that it goes from Dwight buying Andy's car and then reselling it just to kind of get under his skin and to show Angela, you know.
I think the whole thing with the car, it's only like, I hate the terms like alpha and shit, but that's what Dwight is trying to do in that instance of just being like, watch me just control this guy and absolutely like just steal money from him. By the end of it, I think they make it look like he flips it in a day and all he does is wash the car. Andy was selling it for like $8,500. He knocks $1,500 off the price, and then Dwight sells it for $10,000. So little $3,000 that Dwight lines his pockets with in a day there. Not bad.
I've got a Mad Lib for you. A stupid, idiotic numbskull named Andy Bernard sold his ex-Terra to a smart and capable man named Dwight. This is shaping up to be an awesome day for Dwight.
Chick magnet, man. The ex-Terra. Every time you pull up to a stoplight, every ex-Terra is a girl. It's just a great icebreaker, says Andy.
I wonder if they had to clear that line with the makers of Nissan? The Xterra. Mm. Yeah.
They loop in the racing stripe that Angela keys in to the Xterra.
That's a racing stripe. And we could assume Andy gets his Prius after this, right? Mm-hmm. That he then wins the duel with, according to some.
I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. If Andy hadn't sold that car, if Dwight hadn't bought the car from Andy to that duel might not have happened that way, and who knows what would have gone down.
Mm-hmm. Andy would have barreled into the parking lot in his Xterra.
Yeah, Andy would have killed
Dwight. It could have gone sideways, yeah. Real quick, yeah. Yeah. It also kind of takes Dwight a little bit, I mean, it kind of charges up Dwight for his interaction with Michael to, like, ask for power, say it, do it, make me the boss. Like,
five,
it sets
four,
up Dwight
three.
To make that move, but it also gives him the kind of chutzpah to be like, you're on your own. I'm not going to bother with this anymore.
Yeah.
In the way that Dwight, it feels like earlier seasons might have been like, no, Michael, I will protect you from
yes.
Stanley.
Yes. Yeah. Like, at any cost, I will be by your side. And this is Dwight growing a little older, growing a little more independent, becoming his own man. Very much so. I mean, throughout this whole season, really, a lot of growth happens in this season for a lot of characters. But specifically here, Michael and Stanley really hit a new benchmark. Before we get to that, though, there's the weird little thing about Pam with the glasses, and Michael treats her so terribly, and he's like, I can't even hear you. It's like just noise
just
coming from an ugly scientist. But this entire episode then just starts basically because he wants to have a conference room meeting just to about how to liven up the office. That it's such a thin premise, this entire episode.
I love it.
I mean, it drafts very well off of the cold open where he has all that energy. Even though they're not one-to-one related, it kind of, he carries that energy into it. Stanley, yes, you. No, not me. Yes, you. Yes, you. Put down your little game. You know, yeah, no, I will not. Yeah. And then he hits us with the quote, and Michael has to leave the room.
Good. This is good. I'm going to grab a glass of water.
Yeah. The way that everyone reacts, the way Oscar smiles and turns around, looks at Stanley, like, oh, look at you. Like, wow. Really, really great. I think the way, too, that they set up, like, there are three
para
sort
ti,
of...
Para ti.
Okay. There are three sort of clashes with Stanley, or, like, three confrontations with Stanley. He's got, like, the, you know, or there are more conversations, but, like, him in the conference room meeting, and then like the way that he walks up to him and says, I see you filled out that form. I needed Stanley the Manly, which is a very season one Michael way of talking to Stanley.
Yes.
And then you get the fake firing, everybody out, clear the room, cage match. Sort of confrontation between Michael and Stanley. And the fact that they were able to kind of reach this new understanding is says a lot about both of their characters. I think I'm shortcutting to the end, but like the Michael and Stanley handshake and moving on is kind of their version of hug it out, bitch. Don't you think?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
You can come over here and you can hug it out, bitch.
before we get there, I think this, like, to me, the gem of this episode, it comes in this period of time between after Stanley's outburst and before they hug it out, bitch, which is when he goes down to talk to Daryl in the warehouse, and you get this long scene, an iconic scene, I think, of Daryl and Michael asking Daryl if he's ever been in a gang. Daryl kind of sees that the cameras are there, and immediately he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna play into this. This will be fun." Mm-hmm. No, Michael, I have been in a gang. I knew it. what are we talking here? Crips, Bloods, both. Latin Kings, the Warriors, Newsies.
Newsies.
I know, like Michael knows the Newsies. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then I don't know everything about that scene. Then Michael, the way he's just like, okay, so dig this. Like, he goes right into this like mode of talking to Daryl. Okay, dig this. You get the fluffy fingers. I just, that whole scene is Craig Robinson, really, I think, at his best. It's he's so calm and collected, and Michael's just eating every word he says. Their chemistry's so good. Just, I love that scene.
They only hit this a couple times in the show, but the dynamic where Michael comes downstairs and says, Daryl, I need to talk to you. And Daryl says, I'm a very busy man, Mike. This time he's playing with a Rubik's Cube. And there's that other one you said, eating up every line. There's that other one where he's eating like a single chicken wing and a sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also do that.
Very busy down here, Mike. I love that dynamic where Daryl just kind of blows him off like that. I wish we could have seen it more.
I know. Oh, that just reminded me, too, because Michael would never be able to say anything about that of like, hey, you're not doing work. Because earlier this episode, when Michael calls the meeting to energize the office because he's like, I haven't done anything since Christmas. Pam has clearly given up. And there's a few people, you see the office sitting there when he says, I haven't done anything since Christmas. And they're just like aghast. Like, what? and then, of course, it's Stanley, the one who, you know, it doesn't call him out, but he's just had it with Michael. And Michael deserves it. in a lot of ways. And Michael's just not prepared. He's just not prepared for someone like Stanley to speak his mind to Michael.
I mean, we got to mention, too, that it's like leading up to Michael calling Stanley out. He's saying, now we're cooking. I like this. Maybe a whole theme, like a rap rhyme.
An urban Jim, thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Jim is the one who totally, like, you know, sets this whole thing up by saying an urban thing. And Michael's like, an urban. Yeah, Stanley. You want to help us out with that? So it's like, and then, you know, just for Stanley to be like, not me. No. Leave me alone, damn it. Like, I mean, you know, this is like, he's harassing him. Like, totally. And so, I mean, Stanley is absolutely within his right, in my opinion, to shout, did I stutter? And to be super pissed at Michael. And when he says later in the episode that he's going to sue him and all this stuff, like, he probably could and should.
Stanley does go into the room, I guess, but I don't know if the yelling at Michael is warranted in front of everyone. Yeah. Like, that's something you could maybe talk to Michael privately about. I mean, there's respectful ways of doing it. But.
That's true. I mean, even Toby says that.
Openly that insubordinate is the phrase Toby uses.
That's true. But, I mean, this is part of the dysfunction of the Office TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, like, these interactions aren't going to play out in a normal, safe, professional manner. And the opposite happens, too, where at the end he just says, I think this might be your best idea yet. You know, so that's the other way of dealing with it, which is just like a non-answer. Mm-hmm. Or my favorite sort of evolution of this is when Michael just says, all right, you get out of here, big dog, later in like season 7. Like,
yeah, I know. There is good iterations of this later.
Yeah, they like bring it back where it's like, all right, Stanley, you just get out of here,
just
man.
Just the
like,
sound you made when you stood up. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you always assume I have diabetes?
You have a glass of apple juice and tell me.
All right, you get out of here, big dog. That shows where their relationship goes eventually. It reaches that place. I was like, you almost expect him to high five on the way out.
The thing about the did I stutter is it's that moment is nothing in comparison to like what happens later when they're yelling at each other in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. Like before he dismisses and they have their heart to heart. Well, not really heart to heart. It's Michael's heart to Stanley. that's when it really like loses it. When Michael decides this, what he tells Oscar is going to be a mock execution where he fake fires Stanley, which is, I guess, his way to try and flex his power without actually having to confront what just happened. And Michael says, like, oh, he needs to learn humility. All right. I'm going to teach him. Terrible idea. The fake firing. Like, come on, Michael. When does this
never?
Ever,
it never works.
When does this ever work for you, man? And that's what really, like, it's kind of funny because, like, it sees, okay, Stanley does kind of care at least. I mean, for Stanley, it's almost like, you're firing me. Great. Give me my severance. I'm out of here. Like, you almost expect Stanley to do that, but he's actually like, I need to tell you what I think of you, which is, I think very little of you. I mean, he uses the pea-sized mine. Every day you do something stupider than the day before. Everything you do, I would do the opposite. And a really cutting thing to say to someone, which is, I don't respect you. You know, like that's where it ends at. Which is to as fragile of a psyche as Michael Scott, that is a huge, huge thing to say to him.
Well, Michael sets him up. Like you mentioned, it's not a heart-to-heart, but it's Michael's heart to another person. Mm-hmm. And Michael sits back with his arms crossed and says, that's it. And do you have anything to say to me? Expecting Stanley to kind of apologize and have this mea culpa. And, oh, yes, I do. Like, how many times in Michael's life has he made some sort of overture or done something like this and be like, and do you have anything you would like to say? Expecting them to say I love you or something like that, and they are not on the same page at all.
I think this I almost wonder if the entire Pam glasses thing is just this little setup for the moment where he asks everyone to leave, and it's like this kind of rush of like, oh my god, we all gotta go, and Pam's like, I can't find my glasses, and Jim's like, you know what, let's go, let's take my hand. It's like there's a fire in the office. And that's that entire, like, there's not really a many scenes that like this that happen in the show where it's like Michael clears out, like gets everyone out of the office completely to have a one-on-one. It's just that never really happens. And in the way they shoot it, when like the cameras go out and they're kind of like going all the way back in. I mean, it's they really do a good job of creating the sense that in the room at that time, it's palpable. Like, oh my God, like what's about to happen? Because Michael finally yells back of like, stop it. And it's such a funny, childish way that Michael tries to like kick back at Stanley, but it works. And they have this conversation that's kind of amazing.
I love that you mentioned the way that they, the kind of amazing. I like the way that you mentioned the way they shot the scenes, because I noticed that too. When they have Michael and Stanley sort of face to face and you're looking over Stanley's shoulder at Michael, you see Jim parked as the audience surrogate, acting as like you're watching this one-on-one, and Pam is also behind them in the same sort of role. And then, I mean, I believe it cuts to Phyllis and then Dwight, but everyone is tuned in to this moment. Kevin sets it up like a boxing match. You in one corner, you have Michael, and he's mad. And in the other corner, you have Stanley, and he's mad. That's pretty much it.
We see Creed do this later in China. It's a similar type of setup between Oscar and Michael. Great minds battling it out.
I've got a front row seat. I think it is really interesting the way that they have everybody bear witness to it, and then Michael kicks them all out. Versus bringing in Stanley to his office to do any of this. I think there's a value to doing it in front of, like, it's an interesting choice to think of why they wrote it to play out in front of all the ensemble characters and then to be a one-on-one versus calling Stanley into his office, maybe with Toby there as a backup, and having the same sort of exchange.
Mm-hmm. Michael starts crying. Why are you picking on me?
why do you?
I don't understand why you keep picking on me.
Such
a child.
Mm-hmm. And then the tag buttons it up with Phyllis.
Yeah.
Stupidest idea I've ever heard. All right, everybody out except Phyllis.
Here's my hot take. Here's my hot take with this scene, this episode.
Give it to me.
Because of Stanley, Michael is able... Because of this happening, Michael is able to be with Holly later. I think in this moment, this is the first time I think Michael has really practiced like radical self-acceptance. It's the first time in a show that we see Michael confronted with someone saying directly to him, I do not respect you. In fact, the more I get to know you, the less respect I have for you. And Michael basically says, all right, you don't respect me. I accept that. But listen, like, you just can't talk to me in this way in the office. I'm your boss. And I love the way Michael says it. He just says, can't allow it. It's like,
it's
kind of firm, but it's also diplomatic, and it's something that Stanley responds to. Fair enough. And like, he gives Stanley the floor to say exactly what he means. He takes it on the chin eventually. And I think in this moment, he's like, okay, I think I'm okay with someone not liking me and not wanting me to be around. And I think it's the first time he does that. And I just don't think it's that coincidence that Michael meets Holly two episodes later and is able to actually maybe be just mature enough that Holly doesn't go running for the hills.
Damn.
That's what I think.
Yeah, it's a really, really good point. Very well said. I think you think of the lengths that Michael goes to be liked, to be loved, to be praised, to be accepted by everyone. It's in this family that he's trying to kind of knit together between these office workers. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he can look Stanley in the eye and say, okay, you don't respect me. Yeah. Like, he knows that that's not a battle he's ever going to win.
Yeah.
And that he can shake hands and move on is a sign of growth and maturity that, that is heretofore unseen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is interesting, though. I've never thought about it in the way that, like, how does that set him up for, you know, in the growth and development of Michael Scott that leads to his exit in season 7, where does this moment?
Michael's not healed of his insecurities. I mean, the roast. Yeah. I mean, everything happens after this, but it's just the door is opened for Michael to have some self-acceptance in this moment, and that's all he needs to start growing as a person. And yeah, I mean, by the end of, by three seasons later, he's moving to Boulder.
Yeah.
So it's good job, Stanley.
So that's about it. That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Nothing else to say.
You are so right. You are so right.
Okay. The only other thing that I would add to this episode is talking about, you know, I talked up top about storylines and balance and stuff. And I think
I love it.
These things don't count as major storylines, but they weave in the secondary and ensemble characters just enough that they don't feel excluded. You have Jim and Pam.
I love it more.
With the with the backup glasses and Jim almost proposing in a conference room meeting. Like, there's just enough Jim and Pam to feel like they're part of the episode. Cree gets a talking head. Kevin gets a talking head. Phyllis gets that moment in the cold open. Dwight, Angela, Andy have their moment. Like, Corporate Ryan makes an appearance. Daryl makes an appearance. They managed to balance all the characters really well in this particular episode.
I love it!
Makes it really effective.
Rant over. We forgot the Corporate Ryan scene where he pulls in, like, looks in the mirror, and then he does that, like, hey, Jim, as a true Eagles fan, could I ask you a question? And then... like
it's so
smarmy, and then he's like, how do you live with a franchise this bad? Winging a prayer mostly. And then he's like, hey Jim, while I have you here, like, he does this bullshit thing to like get Jim in the room, and it's like, dude, just don't be like that. But I mean, Ryan is obviously savoring every moment of this.
Very well acted by BJ Novak. I always appreciate constructive criticism about my job performance.
I thrive on it.
Yeah, said in the way that you do not at all.
Yeah. Hey, don't get all defensive.
Yeah.
And I love Toby kind of takes his side with, like, and all this stuff with Pam. Like,
stuff with Pam and talking to Pam. And,
Yeah.
But a very, very strong episode overall. Really, really. I'm glad that we chose this one to dig into, because I found there's a lot to unpack there. But
totally. Yeah. Did I stutter?
There you have it.
Take a quick break.
Quick break and time for the conference room.
This podcast is brought to you by Talkspace. There are a lot of reasons that keep people from seeking help with their mental health. That can be fear of opening up to a stranger, or the thought of friends and family judging them or treating them differently. But in reality, meeting with a therapist to work on your mental health is just as helpful as hiring a personal trainer to work on your physical health. It's the same as seeing a doctor, just taking care of your health and overall well-being. Therapy is really important. It's something that I have done personally, and it's made a huge difference in my life. I've mentioned it in other ads on this podcast, but I highly recommend it to basically anyone. I think it can be an incredible help, no matter what you're going through in your life. Meeting a therapist should be as ordinary and judgment-free as going to the dentist or going to the gym. It's just really about self-care and taking care of yourself, and I don't think that you should hesitate when doing any of that. So with Talkspace, your privacy and security are their number one priority. The app puts you in a private room with just you and your therapist. You can send messages 24/7 and get replies throughout the day. You don't need to wait for your weekly appointment, which is really nice. I know if you've been in therapy, you know that you're often thinking about, oh, I can bring this into my next appointment. So the opportunity to message is an incredible service that they provide. And their encryption and added security features keep your conversation fully protected. Whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, self-doubt, or anything else, Talkspace gives you access to the help you need to move forward. So join Talkspace today and start moving forward with a single message. Just visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code SCOTT at signup. That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code SCOTT.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
I'm glad Michael's getting help. He has a lot of problems and he's stupid.
All right, everybody in the conference room. I don't care if you are gay or straight or a lesbian or overweight. Just get in here right now.
This week in the conference room, we wanted to kind of throw it back to a segment we haven't done in a little while, which is just to give some recommendations, some picks, check in about all the different movies, music, TV, books, anything we're consuming right now that we might recommend to you. So, fellas, what have you been into lately?
Yeah, I've been listening to, there's an album by this artist named Kiefer. Do you know, have you ever heard of that dude?
Kiefer's great. Yeah. Man.
His album Between Days, that one I had it on repeat. I just drove from Leavenworth, Washington to Portland, and I just kind of like didn't even realize that I let that,
a town Dwight would love.
Oh, he would thrive. He would right move there.
If you guys don't know, Leavenworth, Washington, look up pictures. But it's a town, and there's an ordinance in the town that all the buildings, commercial buildings, must be built in a Bavarian, like old German style. So it's like this weird Alps town in the middle of like the eastern Washington desert.
Like the McDonald's is Bavarian
style. Yeah,
like that's the vibe. And it's and honestly, I was there for work, but oh man, I fell in love. I love that.
You would love place. It, man.
It was gorgeous.
Man, if you like getting a beer and a sausage, I mean, that's your town. And I know
that's
you do.
It. That's,
I know you do.
That's literally all there is to it. It's just this beautiful little town, especially now that it's autumn and all the leaves are changing. And it was you just wander around and drink beer. It's wonderful.
Hot dog but yeah. fingers.
You set the bar really high with, you know, with what we're watching on Netflix, and you've recommended a quaint German town.
Yeah.
That's what we all really need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A fake German town.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my album of choice. And then there's a playlist on Spotify called The New Indie 2008 to 2010.
Ooh, golden age.
Baby.
Which is a sweet spot. For you know people our age in particular, but I would say it's a very unique,
you know, like early 20s, yeah,
you know, little shins, some broken,
yeah, early 20s,
yeah,
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 2008 to 2010, it's a sweet spot,
our early Death our Cab. Early 20s, yeah.
The cover picture of the playlist is just Zooey Deschanel.
That's it.
All you need to know.
I love that.
The icon of that era, no doubt.
But it's a massive playlist that somebody made, and there's so many on there that I'm just like, oh man, I forgot about this.
Nice. Very nice.
You know, it's funny that you mention that time and that era, because one of the albums I've been listening to a lot is by this band, The Naked and Famous, which it came out in 2020. That's the album that I've been listening to a lot. I've been going back to it. It's a good album. I really recommend it. But their big hit was the song Youngblood that came out in 2010. So I'm sure it fits right in with that playlist.
That makes me think of that song Naked and Famous by Presidents of the United States of America. Mm. A banger. Remember that one?
I don't know if I know that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's great.
That's a bonus pick.
Yeah.
I've also been listening to a new Baby Keem album. If you guys have listened to
it. Oh, I
never heard of it.
Yeah, it's hip hop. A different direction from indie music from 2008 to 2010. Yes. But well, very, very good, like, very current. So yeah.
I would put Baby Keem,
it came out recently.
I would put Baby Keem in like the same camp as like Zach Fox too. It's kind of like it's really good rap, but it's also very funny and it's kind of like tongue in cheek a little bit and like it's almost on the verge of like comedy music, but they bang. It's so good. It's such Baby Keem. That's a good one too.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, we're on music. I'll give a quick music one of who I've been obsessed with for about the last month, which is Colter Wall.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He is this kid from Canada, from Saskatchewan. He's an actual rancher, but he makes kind of new Western music, like real, like actual cowboy music that is unreal. It's incredibly, incredibly good. I've never heard a voice like his. He's got like, he has like Johnny Cash gravitas, and the kid's like 24. Mm. But the albums you hear, like his first album, he was 19 when it came out, and you hear him sing, and you're just like, this is probably a 62-year-old lifelong drinker smoker, and he's 19, and it's unbelievable. And it's one of those, Sean, you'll relate to this too, which is like, I heard him and I just immediately was like, I need all of his albums on vinyl right now. And yeah, that's what I did. Colter Wall.
Oh man,
check him out.
You've mentioned him to me before. That's why I had that reaction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have told you that before he went to Leavenworth. That's a good drive through the desert album. That would have been good. All of his albums. But yep, there's my music.
You guys been watching anything lately?
Besides Squid Game?
Yeah.
Oh, Succession just restarted.
Oh.
First episode just aired.
Yes, it did. Great first episode. Teed up so much.
I played in this tennis event on this last Sunday. Shout out to Live Ball here in LA. But near the end, when things were happening, like wrapping up, people kept saying, "Like, we want to go home and watch Succession."
Yeah. I mean, it ran all day
and went late in the evening, and people were like, "I gotta go home and watch Succession."
I went over to my brother's house, who lives near me, and my parents, who became obsessed with the show in the last like 4 months, also came over. We all got together and watched it like right at 6 o'clock when it was available on HBO. Mm-hmm. I don't know the last time I've done that with like gathering with people at a certain time to watch a show. Felt great. But other than that, I have been watching Search Party finally.
Oh, I hear that's amazing. Sean and Ryan. Yeah,
I've watched all of Search Party. I love it. John Early. Oh. Aaliyah Shachat.
Yes.
Yep.
Kate Berlant. So good. Is a small and part, and then I forget the name of the main dude. The boyfriend.
Oh yeah. Well, I love that guy. I don't remember his name.
He's so brilliant.
But there's also just all these people who I recognize from like TikTok and stuff who show up in the show, and I think a lot of them are writers. It's
such a hip show.
It's so good, and it's oh man, it's so good.
But like it, the plot. I mean, the comedy in it is just right up my alley. There's just so many little moments that happen that are like just for you if you're paying attention. And it's also a real mix of like being hilarious and also like kind of devastating to watch at times. But I'm only on season two, I want to say, and I'm so glad that I've got like so much more to watch that I want. So I highly recommend that. That's half hour comedy HBO. Really funny, really poignant at times. And I mean, Aaliyah Shachat, like who listeners might know is maybe from Arrested Development.
Her?
That's Anne.
I know.
That's my fiance. Thank you. She's unbelievable. Like as an actress, she blows me away. Like at least once an episode, she's absolutely amazing. I've just been floored by her. Highly recommend that show.
So good.
A couple of random recommendations from me. I mean, on top of Squid Game is the last very current thing I watched. I feel like I recommended this when this first season of this came out, but I recently watched the second season of Never Have I Ever, the Mindy Kaling Netflix.
Oh yeah,
never seen it. Never have I ever.
It's really good. It's just a really good
sitcom.
Yeah, or it's not a sitcom. It's a half hour comedy, I suppose. But second season is really good. Or I enjoyed it. You know what's funny?
Thank you.
I was on a plane recently. I want to say it was when I was coming back from New York. And it was the kind of thing where you're trying to find things to fill time. And I watched a couple episodes of Atlanta. I know this is not a current recommendation. Atlanta is so good. I watched the episode with Cat Williams where he's the Gator Man.
Oh, that one in particular.
One of the all-time, I think it's such a great episode. But it just makes me think that Atlanta is coming back for season 3 next year. Supposedly it is, so time to catch on up. If you never saw that, then
Get on that. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I think The Jacket is one of the best episodes of TV I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A super random and not current recommendation, but it's something that I watched recently.
It doesn't need to be
top of mind.
Doesn't need to be. Everybody's rewatching Seinfeld now that it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's why no one's watching The Office anymore. They all moved on. That's not true. Y'all are still watching The Office. I know you are.
Yeah, I think it's a good little recommendation segment. In case, unless you got anything else that you've been
fellow podcast really quickly. There's a show that came out called Bellwether, and it's all one word, but there's no A in weather. It's just Bellwether, Wether. It's one of the more original audio projects I've ever heard in my life. Sam Greenspan, who used to be a producer for 99% Invisible, has been working on the show the past couple of years. He kind of created an entirely new genre, which he calls speculative journalism, where the show, he's making kind of normal, almost 99% invisible type stories, and it's all has to do with automation and AI, but it's through the lens of someone who is listening to his podcast way in the future. And so every now and then it jumps to the future where it's this researcher in like this pod who's listening to quote unquote artifacts, which is this podcast. And they're trying to figure out like what happened to like humans in this society and what, where did automation go wrong? And so the whole, but then like it's world building in the future while he's also doing a podcast about current day. It kind of like breaks your head a little bit. And it's just like nothing you've heard. And
dang.
Even if you don't like it, you got to respect it because it's so creative. And yeah, check that out. Bellwether.
Interesting. No, I'm excited to listen to that.
It's only four episodes, really cool. too. It's just like a little bite-sized thing.
Nice. I love it.
That's it.
There you have it. I think we might be out of time. Are we out of time?
I think we're out of time.
We're running up against it.
I'm sorry that we're not. We're out of time for trivia this week. But I will ask.
We had a hard stop recording. Trivia, so, yeah, sorry.
Want to give us some trivia, please email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Also, you can call us 503-694-9314. We love to listen to the voicemails on the show. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com, and we're on Patreon, patreon.com/michaelscott. Become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. You get tons of extra content that we've been putting out every month. So you'll get a whole slew of mailbag episodes, and every month you get a mailbag episode where we will answer questions sent to us through Patreon. So
one
check
additional
us out, support
thing,
the show.
One additional thing for Patreon, I was going to put up a playlist just of stuff that I've been listening to Sweet. This month that you can check out just for Patreon subscribers. I don't know if you're that interested in, in what I'm listening
hey,
to. But
Edwin makes a great playlist, so I would recommend.
It's a combination of the stuff that I listened to driving down on my move and the stuff that I found since I've been here. But I thought that might be fun to do a monthly playlist just kind of as an extra thing for Patreon. So keep an eye out for that. Should be happening the next day or two.
Yeah, come hang out with us on there. Support the show. Get ad-free episodes of the main feed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, do it.
Merch store coming by end of the month. So,
oh, yeah.
It, just in time for some Christmas gifts, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And you can get some merch with graphics by Ryan Lloyd. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who designs all our artwork. And very special thanks to our Patreon members. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening to this show and supporting us. And dang, we love you guys.
Thank you for listening. I mean, tagging off of Sean's message, just really appreciate everyone who hangs out with us every week. I know it's been, we're coming to you a little bit later than normal this week. We ran up against our hard stop time today. But just know that we love and appreciate you. And we'll be coming back again soon with our monthly Patreon mailbag episode for the month of October. And then also in your main feed next week. So just know that we love and appreciate you. Thank you for hanging out and spending time with us, supporting us. You guys make all the difference in the world. So take care. Stay safe. See you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the zap.
Yes, sir. Da 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 da.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.